Wintrust Business Lunch, Terry Savage joins us, the syndicated financial columnist from terrysavage.com for the hour today. I think we're going to need it. Her eyes are kind of spinning right now.
Yeah, well, there's a lot going on in the markets. News today, news coming up that impacts your money, your wallet. So I'm sure we'll have a lot of questions.
What are the numbers that you are anticipating?
Well, today we got producer prices, wholesale prices, the stuff that's the cost of stuff consumers buy. That number will be released tomorrow. It was double. I mean, we're not having soaring, runaway, insane inflation, but it's still at a very high level. And today's increase in wholesale was double the amount that had been expected on the street. The street expected an increase of 0.2%. It was up 0.4%. Oh my gosh, the Fed's going to be thinking, we've got to raise rates more. We got to slow the economy more. So you know what that means.
Do you think they will as a result of this? Because there was some rumbling from some of the other, governors of the Fed that maybe they wouldn't be so
The overwhelming commentaries, these Fed governors go out and speak and people like to take them and twist their words. But basically the vice chairman, Lael Brainard, and others, even Charlie Evans, who's our Chicago Fed president, who's been kind of cautious all the way along, they have all said, we're sticking this out. They're scared to death to let this get away from them. And in the topic of letting inflation get built in and embedded, not only will we have consumer prices tomorrow, I won't hazard a guess on that. We'll see what comes out. But tomorrow, they release the Social Security cost of living increase, addition to your Social Security check for starting in January. And there is some thought that it could be about 8.6 or 8.7%, which would be the largest increase on a percentage basis since back in the early 80s. And nobody's saying Social Security recipients. A third of the people who collect Social Security, it is their only income or 90% of their income. So, of course, an inflation adjustment is well deserved. But the fact is, this is an example of how inflation gets built into the system, which is why the Fed's being so aggressive of stopping it.
If interest rates go up, money's more expensive. Money's more expensive, people end up buying less. If there's reduces the demand, then prices go down. But then why don't they just say, hey,
Econ 101.
Well, then why don't they just tell everybody, hey, everybody buy less? But that sounds so anti-business, so anti-economy. But what we're trying to do is reduce spending, right?
That's the way. Look, the Fed, I want to say they made a lot of mistakes along the way. We had a couple of severe crises in the last decade. In 2008, 2009, we had that mortgage crisis. If you remember, they packaged up these mortgages and sold them and diced them in different ways. And a lot of those mortgages were made to people who had no income. You remember those stories way back then?
105%
loans. Exactly. So that spread through the global banking system because these mortgages were securitized and sold to foreign institutions. And there was a chance that the entire world financial system would collapse in 2008. So the Fed and the government set out to rescue everybody. Remember back then, all corporate side, the banking side, they merged some banks and Lehman went under and all those things. And the Fed accommodated by creating a lot of money so that the government could do this and try and get things going. Then we had spring of 2020, February, where, I mean, I remember that feeling, thinking, oh my goodness, this could shut down the global economy. This is horrible. And the next thing you know, I mean, both political parties, this is not a political thing. And you'll understand why. Remember the fear. Okay, here's a stimulus check. Here's a doubling of unemployment rates. Here's a PPP loan. Here's another stimulus check. Here's money to the states to take care of the lost revenues. It was like Oprah, you get a car, you get a car, you get a car. They added $8 trillion to the national debt over these last years with all of these plans. The Fed accommodated. Because where was the money coming from? The Fed bought the IOUs, the Treasury bills, notes, and bonds, paid for it with newly created money, and we rescued the economy, and here it's come back. But now everybody realizes we have a national debt of over $31 trillion. We're borrowing. The Fed is scared to death about inflation, and they're raising rates. The biggest borrower, by the way, is the U.S. government. And every time interest rates rise 1%, it's at least $250 billion more in spending on interest alone.
We gave way too much money, Terry. Were the plans to rescue us in 2020 too generous?
You know, when we lived through that, so we know how painful things were. But number one, it wasn't well done. We know about the unemployment fraud in Illinois and California, billions. I mean, not millions, not thousands, billions. We know about the PPP loans that were given out to companies that didn't really need them.
Sure.
So it wasn't well done. And we know about the money that went to the states, the American Rescue Plan that went to the states. And they told the states, well, you can't use it to pay down your debt. You can't use it to pay down pension obligations. So they said, oh, well, we're not. They just took the other revenues and paid off some of the bills. So it wasn't so much too much money. It was so poorly done. And now the Fed has no choice but to start sucking that money out of the economy. So they're not just, let's make one quick point here. Not only are they raising interest rates to slow demand, which you nailed the description, Econ 101, but the Fed is vacuuming up the liquidity in the economy. You know, they, in order to put money in the economy, the government borrowed, selling treasury bills, notes, and bonds in that big global market for our securities. The Fed bought a lot of them and paid for them with newly created money. I used to joke in 1981, nobody ever asked Paul Volcker to put his driver's license number on the back of the check. So the Fed created liquidity, and now the Fed has a $9 trillion portfolio of treasury bills, notes, and bonds, and mortgage-backed securities and some other stuff. And now the Fed is selling those. They sell them to the dealers. The dealers do pay with real money. The Fed takes that check or whatever you say and tears it up and throws it in the wastebasket, and bingo, billions of dollars of liquidity out. So the Fed was still buying bonds in March of this year when inflation took off and putting money in. So they were late in recognizing
it. Yeah.
And they were late in acting on it. And now the fear is that they can't precisely calibrate how much money to suck out, how high rates will go. And so we have this very tenuous situation where it could be a tough recession and could impact the stock market more.
It's 12:17. You have questions about your T-bills and your IRAs and your money market accounts and your CDs and your college loans. Maybe you want to ask Terry about the sorts of things she's just been talking about. 312-981-7200. Call or text right now. Lots of calls and text messages for Terry Savage, the syndicated financial columnist. Terry, do you want to start with those or anything else you want to say first?
Let me give an update because I bet this will, an interest rate update on two subjects that I know a lot of people are interested in. I bet we'll get calls on them. Let me start with U.S. savings bonds. I'm going to start from ground zero, but if you go to terrysavage.com on the right-hand side, scroll down under financial links, it says savings bonds, 9.62%. There are links. Everything I say is going to be there. Series I savings bonds have a fixed base rate, which is about zero, but every 6 months they're adjusted for inflation. And last May, the inflation adjusted rate was 9.62%. It runs through November 1st. That's 2 weeks from now. Even if you buy Series I savings bonds now, just 2 weeks before the rate will change, we'll talk about that in a minute, you will get 9.62% for the coming 6 months. And then when that is finished, whatever rate they announce for November 1st, which will be a very high rate also because of inflation, will be added on at the end of that for another 6 months. The only way you can buy Series I savings bonds is not at your bank anymore like you used to get the old paper bonds, is through the government website, treasurydirect.gov. Instructions, links, all in the homepage article at terrysavage.com, Series I bonds, 9.62%. So you opened that account. Yes, it's safe. It's secure. It's the $1 trillion U.S. Treasury website. It is safe. The minimum investment, do $100. The maximum you can buy of savings bonds in any calendar year is $10,000. They're not giving away 9.62% for your $100,000 that you really would like to get that much money on, but they have sold billions, billions, billions of savings bonds since I and others like me around the country have been telling you about them. So do lock in 6 months at 9.62, and then they'll announce a new rate in just 2 weeks. So we'll be talking about that. Now, part B of this, At that same website, treasurydirect.gov, under the Buy Treasury, you can click and you can buy 3 and 6 month treasury bills. The savings bonds you want, you must hold for at least a year. And if you don't hold those savings bonds, Series I bonds, for 5 years, there's a 3 months interest penalty. But you can buy treasury bills, IOUs auctioned by the billions every Monday for as little as $100. So that same account that you linked to your checking account or money market account, you can now go in and buy 6 month treasury bills. Unlimited amount. You've got $1 million you want to put in there? Go for it. You never know until the auction, but last week I came on the air and said they're going to be about 4%. They were. Today, they're yielding in the trading market 4.1%. Your bank isn't giving you 4% for 6 months. Look under my columns at terrysavage.com. The second one down is T-bills beat CDs. Link's right there. So that same treasurydirect.gov account that you used to buy your Series I savings bonds, or if you didn't open one for that purpose, you can open one to buy treasury bills. All you need is your bank routing number, your Social Security number, and you say, on Monday, whatever the rate is, I think it's going to be around 4%, unless something globally changes dramatically, probably will be at least 4% at the Monday auction. I want to buy 7,500. I want to buy 600. I want to buy $250,000 worth of 6 month, 26 week treasury bills. But if you had like $100,000, I would suggest you maybe bought, I know, isn't this your dream that you have all this free money sitting around you and mad that the bank isn't paying you more than 1.5%? You would put $25,000 in 6 month T bills, say on Monday. You'd wait a couple of weeks and stagger the maturities by $25,000 more. They suck the money right out of your bank account, but they leave behind the interest you're going to earn. Then you get the interest in advance. And it's safe. It's secure. TreasuryDirect.gov or go to TerrySavage.com. Again, 9.62, 2 more weeks to get that. And then next year, by the way, you can buy the new 10,000 more of the new Series I bonds. It'll be a new year.
Terry, some of our listeners said something like this. Well, lots of questions about IRAs and so forth.
Let's try and get to them all. I'm sorry. We have an extra few minutes today. So I took advantage to kind of preempt the questions about T-bills and about savings bonds.
Jim, you're on WGN with Terry Savage. Hi, Jim.
Hi, John. Terry, big fans of you both. I had a quick question. For the life of me, I can never understand it. I understand that the Fed raises rates when they're trying to cut excessive spending. But at the same time, if they're trying to cash in on this large portfolio of IOUs, isn't it more advantageous to them to drive the economy up instead of trying to dampen it?
Okay, that's a very sophisticated question. Just congratulations to our sophisticated listeners. The idea being, of course, that you want to have higher interest rates. Let me just say this. The Fed doesn't care about making a profit or a loss on the securities it bought. It just cares about the amount of liquidity in the system. When it wants to put liquidity into the system to get the economy going, it buys bills and pays for that with newly created money. When it wants to vacuum up and suck out liquidity, it takes its portfolio, sells them, gets paid. The buyers pay the Fed, and the Fed says, oh, great, we didn't need that money anyway. Nobody asked them, did they make a profit? They just flush that check or the money that they get down the toilet of illiquidity. And so there's less money floating in the economy. It does the job of helping to slow the economy, slow demand, and slow upward pressure on prices.
Jim, good question. Thanks for the call. I'm going to go to Tim next, or rather John next. You're on WGN. Hi, John.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Yes, I had a quick question in regards to the handling of interest on T-bills. As you had said, the interest is paid up front when you buy from the Treasury Direct. But if you buy in the secondary market, say a six-month T-bill, is that handled differently where the income is, the interest is actually
paid at maturity? Let me stop you right there. Individuals, John, do not buy Treasury bills in the secondary market where the minimum purchases are huge. So it's a moot point. If you want to buy Treasury bills and not go through treasurydirect.gov, there are a couple of money market mutual funds that only buy T-bills and overnight government repos, and the yields are a little bit lower. But the fact is, if you want liquidity instantaneously, you can buy a government securities short-term only money market fund, or you can buy T-bills, 320, you could actually buy them for 4 weeks, but that doesn't make much sense, but 13 weeks or 26-week T-bills bought at the Treasury Direct website. When they mature in 13 weeks or 26 weeks, up until a week before, you can say to them, roll over. In fact, when you buy them, you should say, yeah, roll them over at whatever the rate is, assuming you're not going to need the money in 6 months. Roll them over at whatever the going rate is, because that's the going rate. Or you can say, nope, just 1 6-month term, and they will automatically deposit the whole $10,000 back into your checking account.
Good answer, John. Good question. Thanks for the call. We're going to Karen next. You're on WGM with Terry Savage. Hi, Karen.
Hi. I'm on the website right now, and I'm going under account type as individual, and it's asking for a taxpayer identification number.
That's your Social Security number, Karen.
Oh, okay. That's simple. Thank you.
Okay.
Oh, hey, what do you know? We solved one.
That was easy.
Quickly. Sharon, you're on WGN. Hi, Sharon.
Hi. I just called to say that Terry Savage is right to tell people to invest in savings bonds. I just last week cashed in 30 paper e-bonds that had reached final maturity, and I more than doubled my money. So savings bonds are a really good, safe investment. Thank
Terry.
Okay, thanks, Karen. I just hope, you know, if you had, let's just say you got $10,000 back, you know, in the olden days, you'd pay $12.50 for a savings bond that was guaranteed to mature, the old Series E bonds, on a certain date and be worth $25. Then they went to Series Double E bonds, which had floating rates, which are no longer a good deal, so just ignore them. And those were never guaranteed a specific maturity date because the interest rate would fluctuate and be adjusted every 6 months. The thing now that you want is Series I bonds. So the question is, when you cash them in, did the interest rate keep up with inflation? And that's why Series I bonds are so interesting, because when you get the money back, it'll be worth at least what you put in because you've kept up with inflation.
312 says, do you think I-bonds will finally get a fixed rate in November? P.S. Thanks for the explanation of the I-bond interest payment a few weeks ago. Mine was paid in full after 9 months, just like you said.
Okay. So 2 points here. I-bonds are always going to change the variable portion on November 1st and May 1st. But depending when you buy, even if you bought them May 2nd, last spring, when they announced 9.62%, your I-bond would just be coming to the end of its six-month cycle. And when they announce them November 1st, you would automatically get the new rate for the next 6 months. It'll be high as well. When you're looking for the interest on your I-bonds to be deposited to your Treasury Direct account, this is I-bonds, not Treasury bills, I-bonds. It takes about 5 months to get the interest put in, because they hold back some for that 3 months potential penalty if you were to cash them out. And then it's a month after you do get paid that they finally post it. So you wouldn't see all the interest for 5 months that's accrued in your I-bond account at Treasury Direct. Believe me, they know what they're doing. You're getting the interest.
Hey, Terry, I'm 59 years old. My company is going out of business. Should I take my 401k? And roll it into a retirement IRA.
Okay. I thought you were going to say, should I take my IRA and spend it? Your 401k. Do you not?
Into a retirement IRA with a guaranteed 6% and another 401k with my new company.
Okay. Did they say with a guaranteed 6%?
That's what it says here.
I don't know where you're getting that, and I'd be very concerned. What you should do is take your old 401k and roll it over. Go to Fidelity or Vanguard. You can do this yourself. You don't need to pay someone a fee or a commission to do this. Call 1-800-FIDELITY, 1-800-VANGUARD. Say, my name is Susan Smith. My company is closing out. Here's my account number from my 401k. Mm-hmm. I want you to please do a rollover into an IRA rollover account. And they will ask for your Social Security number. They'll ask for the information that's right on your statement. And then they're going to say to you, and Susan, when we get it over here, that $127,000 that built up over that bull market, what do you want to do with it? And then you're going to panic and go, I don't know. But like if you're, did that person say 59 years old?
Yep.
Okay. You're at the stage where you don't want to risk a lot. You're a little worried about the downside of the market. You say, for starters, when you get it, just put it all in the government securities money market fund. And then you think about it and you think, well, I know that over 20 years, a general stock portfolio with dividends reinvested, there's never been a 20-year losing period. So maybe I'll take 25% out immediately. Once you get it over to your new IRA rollover, just call them up. You've got your account. You could do it online with your password and login at Fidelity or Vanguard and say move 25% to the Standard & Poor's 500 stock index fund. And then you might say, what's more conservative? Well, maybe I'll put 25% in the equity income fund, guaranteed to provide a little more income, a little less risky stocks. And maybe I'll just leave it 50-50 with the money market fund and I'll sleep better at night. You can make those decisions. Do the rollover.
Yeah.
Don't fall into the hands of someone who says, I will give you this, that, and the other, because if they're giving you something like that, they're getting paid.
And if your name is not Susan Smith, you could still do this?
Yeah, if you're Joe Smith, you also could roll over your old 401k into an IRA rollover.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch on WGN. Terry Savage is here. Last batch of calls and texts in a minute. First, back into the newsroom with Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. Banana Republic will not renew the lease for its longtime store at 744 North Michigan Avenue. Crane says the 39,000 square foot space is already being marketed to potential new tenants. The lease expires early next year. Banana Republic is owned by Gap, and the brand has been struggling financially. Gap plans to close 130 Banana Republic stores by 2024 and eventually as many as 350 over future years. The Mag Miles vacancy rate jumped to 29% this summer, up from 15% before the coronavirus pandemic, so the Banana Republic loss will be felt. Weber may be close to landing some debt financing to help the company weather a business slowdown during the winter season. Bloomberg says the Palatine-based barbecue grill maker is looking to its largest shareholder, BDT Capital Partners, for the financing. BDT owns a 48% stake in Weber. A separate report said Weber had been approached by a private equity firm about a potential takeover. Earlier this year, Weber withdrew its full-year forecast and said inflation and supply chain issues were dragging down its bottom line. Standard & Poor's downgraded the company's credit rating at the same time. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Thank you, sir. Now the business of food. Now Steve Alexander.
Here we go, and we are sponsored by the Chevy Silverado HD. Experience life in HD. Visit ChevyDriveChicago.com. Now, this is one of those moments when we get to combine the business of food with the business of good. The days are numbered for most of our farmers' markets, including one special one that's running today in Chicago's Medical District.
At 2200 West Campbell Park Drive, right off of Harrison Street and Levitt, across the street from the American Red Cross.
That is Heather Tarksand, the Executive Director of Urban Autism Solutions.
And one of our programs is Growing Solutions Farm.
That's where young Westside High School students with autism learn the skills of growing food and, oh, so much more.
They're developing their speech skills. They're working on social-emotional learning with the ultimate goal of connecting them to other resources that'll help them to get their first job, and they're bringing home a paycheck to help their families.
And graduates of the Growing Solutions Farm quite often find jobs in the food industry.
We have been able to place a lot of our young adults into grocery stores.
Jewel, Pete's Fresh Foods, Jimenez Grocers, and others have hired graduates. For more information, go to UrbanAutismSolutions.com. And the produce from their 1.2-acre farm is for sale today and Wednesdays and Fridays through the end of the month. Good food and food for good. One other farmer's market of note coming up this weekend is Sunday in Logan Square. Mingle at the Market. It's from 11 till 2. And Logan Square Chamber of Commerce Executive Director Nilda Esparza says that Sunday market has always had a reputation for, well, for its flirty atmosphere. And then by accident,
a couple months ago, I actually hooked up a vendor on a blind date with a visitor. And out of that date, I'm like, OMG, I'm going to host a singles event.
So if you're single and want to mingle and buy some produce or hot cheese, that's really a thing, not code for something salacious. Go to Logan Square Sunday at 11. Today's National Farmers Day. And remember, if not for farmers, we'd be hungry, homeless, naked, and sober. That's the business of food on 720 WGN.
Terry, we have about 2.5 more minutes.
Let's do it.
Pick up a couple more phone lines here. Chris, you're on WGN with Terry Savage on the Wintrust Business Lunch. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Terry. Question about inherited IRAs. The IRS caused considerable confusion, controversy. How do you think they might land in the situation where you have to do the 10-year distributions of the IRA, or they may require to do the immediate RMD when the person you inherited from, when they passed away, had started their RMDs? Where do you think it might land?
Chris, you described it perfectly. If you inherit in an IRA after 2020 and you're not the spouse, you, number one, have to distribute all those funds. You used to be able to stretch it indefinitely. Now it has to come out in 10 years, by the end of 10 years, I should say. And initially, the ruling said if that person who died had already started taking RMDs, you, as the inheritor of that IRA, now have to start taking RMDs over your lifetime. However, the IRS just came out and said, oops, we really were confused things. So if you haven't taken if you inherited since 2020, and have not yet taken RMDs, you won't pay a 50% penalty. So that gives you a free pass for this year if you didn't take RMDs. We'll see how they redefine that next year. A new bill is winding its way through Congress. So if you forgot to take an RMD because your dad died and already started taking them, you won't get a penalty. So don't worry about it till next year. We'll see what happens.
Thanks for the phone call. Good luck. Hey, John Williams, I'm an 80-year-old. Probably won't live long enough to see a recovery. Should I close out my accounts and put my money, whatever is left, in the bank?
What accounts? No. What? You know what? We've been through some tough times. I won't even detail them. If you're 80, you've lived through a lot of them. You lived probably through the Korean War, and you certainly lived through the Vietnam War and the inflation and the Great Recession of the early 80s and all those other things that I've mentioned. America always comes out of it better and stronger. As Warren Buffett says, nobody ever got rich betting
against
America.
You want them to leave it in the markets.
I don't say that you should leave it in the markets, but if it's in an IRA, you don't take it out of the IRA. You find a safe place for at least half of your money inside the IRA, money market fund.
This is Jackie. If we do it quick, we can try and answer part of your question. Jackie, what do you need to know?
Real quick, daughter going to grad school next May, about $120,000 over 2.5 years. She has about $40,000 saved. How do we finance the rest?
Well, she'll get federal student loans. And if you want to help her, you could, A, take out Parent PLUS loans for graduate school. Very, very expensive, not recommended. Plan B, mortgage your house, a home equity loan. I think she might want to stop and work for a couple of years and maybe save up some more money or apply for grants. Scramble is the answer, scramble.
Federal student loans.
Well, federal student loans, but that just pays relatively little if there's that big a gap.
Carolyn, you're on WGN with Terry Savage.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Okay, great. Retired from United Airlines, 54-year seniority. Fidelity just called and said, you know, we want to keep your money. It's a fair amount of money. And I heard you say, take the rollover, take your 401k and roll it over into a government what?
No. Look, I don't know what your options are. If United will let you stick with the plan and you're happy, you can leave your money there. Or you can say, Fidelity, take it out. Don't give it to me. Don't touch it. Don't you dare touch it, Caroline. It'll be taxable. Put it into an IRA rollover account. And then if you wanted to be more conservative, they say, where do you put it? Say, leave half in the money market fund and divide half between the S&P 500 stock index fund and the equity income fund. And what I'm guessing your age, that should be a good allocation for you.
Good luck, Caroline. Lots of information, lots of numbers, lots of sites for you today. Remember, this entire one-hour show is podcast after WGN Radio's Wintrust Business Lunch. Pete will put it up this afternoon. You can go back and listen to it at WGNradio.com. Click on the podcast on the Wintrust Business Lunch page. Nice job today, Terry.
Fun being here.